I'm Theo.
And I'm Juliet.
And this is Apologies Accepted.
We offer an entertaining look at some of the big issues in history by examining public apologies of the famous and infamous.
We're looking at politicians, serial killers, actors, and you.
Send us a public apology you'd like to make, and we'll read it on the air and give you a chance to redeem yourself or just get some guilt off your shoulders.
We're here for you. Once a week, maybe more if you're really, really sorry. Hey, everybody. I am still not Juliet.
And I am not Theo again. And this is Apologies Accepted, right? The podcast.
Always.
Did I get the name right? I did. Who knows what I'm going to come out with one of these days. So,
same.
How are you, Theo? It's so good to see you and your plants in the background.
So great. Yes, we have winter weather in Austin and nobody knows what to do. It is snowpocalypse. Has not snowed yet, but it will. This will be the second time ever since I've lived here 11 years that it snowed twice. Maybe it snows for an hour or two every 5 years. And it's pretty. It lays on the ground for 15 minutes and it goes away. So everybody is tucked inside and afraid.
If it's going to be 20 degrees or whatever, it's going to stay on the ground longer than that, don't you think?
I don't know a lot about snow.
That's true. You lived in North Carolina and then California and now Texas. So you're not the snow expert. Well, we'll find out next week. It'll be exciting. I'm glad you brought your plants inside because they're really nice looking plants and they deserve to be treated well.
Which makes it look like I care a lot about plants and I'm some sort of a plant person. And I am totally not. I just buy plants that are hard to kill.
Maybe you are.
No, it turns out that baby olive trees are just really hardy.
Wow. I believe they outlawed olive trees in Arizona because they give people such bad allergies.
I am just a rebel.
I see. Of course.
The naturally. Minute they outlawed olive trees, I went out and I bought some.
And you bought some. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about Ted Yoho,
yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum.
And his...
That's not the only joke I wrote for this episode.
Oh, boy, I'm glad.
But it's the best one. So sorry, everybody. Apologies in advance.
Yeah, apologies in advance. So, okay, so let's get into it. So here is how I imagine this went down, right?
So Ted Yoho and AOC and the encounter that they had.
Yes. So in July 2020, our friend Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was walking gracefully up the steps of the Capitol, dressed to fucking kill, thinking about an upcoming vote, when now former Representative Ted Yoho of Florida slimed up to her on the steps, leaned over her elegant 5'4" frame, shoved his finger in her face, and started screech whining at her about how poor people are less than human and her ideas about treating them with respect are ridiculous. Ocasio-Cortez looked him up and down, calmly said, "Rude," and continued up the steps and into the building, while Yoho, now joined by Representative Roger Williams, a Republican from Texas, who had joined Yoho and had started screaming at Ocasio-Cortez about throwing urine for some reason, walked down a few steps before Yoho mindlessly uttered, "Fucking bitch."
Or he said bullshit.
He denied calling her a bitch. He says he muttered the word bullshit.
And this is something I played during a game I played when all of this happened, right? Did you play this game where you say the word bullshit and see if it sounds like fucking bitch?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And then I was like, if I'm on a stairway and maybe I'm 10 feet away and the wind's blowing, could it still, you know, does bullshit turn into the tender caressings of fucking bitch?
I mean, what does it even matter if you said that she's a fucking bitch or called her ideas bullshit? It's kind of all rude, in my opinion.
I mean, honestly, it's all ridiculous. There are ways in which we work through our differences with people.
Right.
And calling somebody names isn't what we're supposed to do.
And
I think we all learned that in kindergarten.
We don't call people's ideas bullshit.
Only on podcast are you allowed to do this.
That's right. If I did this in my job, I would be fired so fast.
People get fired for this.
People do. And she should have been probably, but anyway, so the next day, our dear friend AOC told Yahoo News, Yoho comes up to me and puts his finger in my face and flies off in a rage. He started going off about shootings and bread and nonsense, calling me crazy, shameful, out of my mind, etc. At first, I tried to talk to him, but that just made him yell over me more. I said he was being rude and this was unbelievable and started to walk away. He said, I'm rude. You're calling me rude? And I just kept walking to my vote. So she then said that she confronted him later that day about what he did, and she said he doubled down, yelling at me again for a second time later in the afternoon. So it was unpleasant all the way around. The guy that was there, Roger Williams from Texas, said that he hadn't heard the discussion, but in a tweet the following morning, I think, AOC accused him of having blatantly lied. You were yelling at me too, she wrote, about throwing urine. I don't get the throwing urine thing. I never quite got to the bottom of where the urine was allegedly was thrown. What?
It's something that she's reported, and she didn't go into great detail. It was just mentioned in a tweet. I couldn't find anything on it either, and I don't know any expressions that are like,
yeah,
you're so bad, I'm just going to throw urine out the window.
Right, right. I don't know. No, I.
You're a pile of urine.
Yeah. I'm so mad, I'm going to throw urine at you.
I'm so mad, I'm just going to pee. Maybe what he meant to say, maybe what he said, this is where she actually misheard something. Shame on her. You're in trouble.
You're in
Thank
trouble.
You. You're in trouble.
So, AOC told The Hill that she never had that kind of confrontation ever. I've never had that kind of abrupt, disgusting kind of disrespect levied at me. In all these intense news cycles, I have never, ever been treated that way by another member before. I'm frankly quite taken aback. So why was Yoho mad? Who is Ted Yoho, Theo?
So Ted Yoho, not a lot out there on him prior to really until he entered Congress. There's just not a lot there. So he, in my opinion, is the embodiment of all-American 1950s white culture. Mm. He was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota on April 13th, 1955, which makes him an Aries. That might explain some of this.
Aren't you an Aries?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But I'm an early Aries. He's a later Aries.
You're more like Pisces.
I'm the sweeter fruit of the Aries vine.
The good side, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And so at the age of 11, he moved to Florida, and in elementary school, he met his second wife, Carolyn, in the fourth grade. They were married 19 years later. They were married at the age of 19.
Wait, so he met his second wife, Carolyn, in the fourth grade?
He met his first, did I say his second wife?
Yes. Wait, did he meet his first wife?
His first wife, Isabel, died tragically on the playground in the third grade.
Whoa.
That's the real shame. Nobody tells you about the horrors of elementary. I mean, the horrors. Just to be clear, that was horrors of elementary school.
Oh, God.
Anyway, back to Ted Yoho. No, so Ted Yoho met his first and only wife, Carolyn, when they were both in the fourth grade at appropriate age to be in the fourth grade. He wasn't the substitute teacher. This went off the rails real quick.
That's all right. It's fun.
But that's, yeah. Okay. So he met his wife while they were children. They were childhood sweethearts, and they got married early at the age of 19. He went to community college, and then he climbed up the educational ladder. He went to the University of Florida. Then he went to the University of Florida of Veterinary Medicine, and then it got his doctorate. And he is a...
He got a doctorate, or did he get a DVD or whatever?
A VD. Veterinary doctor.
Okay.
Is what he got, right?
All right.
And I looked that up. That's a certified. DVM. That's how you say it. They're not all. He's the VD.
Okay,
let's see. So he is a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association, because, duh, he would have to be. Florida Veterinary Medical Association, Florida Association, and I'm sorry to inform you, of Equine Practitioners. I know how much you love horses. And the Florida Cattlemen's Association, and, no surprise, the National Rifle Association. So He's essentially the generic white guy, but even worse, the idealized version of the generic 1950s white guy. So childhood sweethearts, got married, still married, a lot of kids. Great. Right.
Worked his way up to being a veterinarian.
Worked his way up, yeah. Became a doctor. Vets are amazing. She's not my friend, but I want my vet to be my friend. So I'm getting a dog just so I can see Dr. Heidi again. Aww. I love you, Dr. Heidi. But not in a romantic way. Should I now? Okay, let's see. Okay, so given that he's this 1950s generic white guy, what are his politics? So let's see. He's a Tea Party Republican. Already the stuff just starts to write itself. He defeated old Republican, a guy named Cliff Stearns, who was first elected to office in 1988 and was running again in 2012. Yoho won by just 1%.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's a ruby red district, so no surprise. He beat the Democrat by 65-32. And then, let's see, in 2013, he supported a birther investigation into Obama's birth certificate. Remember all that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he also thought that a tax on tanning beds was racist against white people because brown people don't use them. So the only people who would be paying this tax would be the white people who are trying to be brown.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, that is a little, he's got a couple of things out there. He's got a lot of things that are crazy, but even in the world of crazy, like that's just a stupid idea, but whatever. Yeah. So obviously he's pro-gun. He's a gun owner. He supports concealed carry laws and he carries a gun with him at all times when he's at home in Florida. So don't approach him.
See?
He's compared having a gun to having a cell phone. And he says, I have the right to protect myself. And I feel like I have a very good aim. My wife is better. And that statement right there to me, that's just somebody who's afraid, right? I'm letting you all know I've got a gun. And if you come after my wife, she'll shoot you too.
Yeah.
So these are people who definitely should have guns. Let's see. And he's all for guns at the Capitol, probably even after the insurrection.
I read that he voted against making lynching a federal hate crime.
That was my big surprise for you. But I see that you know Wikipedia too. I was like, lynching, it's federal hate crime. I mean, hi, what? Hello? Okay.
If that's not a federal hate crime, what is?
I was very surprised. So you can always find common ground with somebody. And in these stories, I do like to, not that I like to, but I do put myself in the villain's shoes.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's always common ground. Drugs. He's all for states determining their own laws around marijuana. And I couldn't be more surprised. And he supports the medical use. So he's not all bad, except mostly bad. He supported Texas versus Pennsylvania and that bullshit thing about Trump, of course, you know, won the presidential election and he's still presidenting just from Florida. And I would say the only thing that seems honorable about him that I can point to would be he said that he would only run for 4 terms and he stuck by that, promise.
You mean 2 terms?
Oh, somehow in here I have 4 terms, but I also said Carolyn was his second wife and she's his first. So let's just say instead of the number of terms, Juliet, what's most important is that I'm right somehow.
I know he joined in 2013 and now he's retired. So however many terms that comes out to, it's 2 years for 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 19. I guess it was 4. Yeah. Okay.
See?
You're right.
I know. I know. I didn't question my rightness at all.
And he's also anti-choice, not surprisingly.
Oh, well, I mean, come on. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm sure he has a picture of a fetus on a t-shirt somewhere in his house. And he was replaced by his chief of staff, his former chief of staff. So she is now the rep for District 3. And then, yes. And so there's not too much about him. I was looking for anything like, did he have an affair? Couldn't find anything. I thought maybe for a while, maybe he's like super Christian. And he's Christian, but he's not one of those Avenue C guys.
Hmm.
So Let's see. So we've talked about the AOC encounter, because unfortunately for Ted Yoho, this is the most interesting thing that's happened to him in his career.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
The only instance of Ted Yoho fighting with anybody I could find was the AOC encounter.
Yeah.
Weirdly, he's never called a man disgusting.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Or it's never been reported anyway.
Who would believe that?
Well, I mean, that's
a woman. I don't get
it. That's where I don't know, right? It's like, maybe he did confront, I don't know, name a liberal. Maybe he did confront Bernie Sanders and said, "You're disgusting." And Bernie Sanders was like,
"Yeah."
And it didn't get reported.
I have some stuff on that later, but
oh, good. Okay. Cause I need that.
Okay. So he was obviously not going to be AOC's biggest fan, right?
Clearly.
Yeah. And he was mad about some statements that she made during a virtual town hall in early July about a recent spike in crime in New York City.
Exactly.
And she had argued that unemployment and poverty were partly to blame for the spike in crime and that more policing was not the answer, which Fox News and all the other conservative news outlets took to mean that she was making excuses for violent crime. Of course they would. She said, "Republicans are all upset that I'm connecting the dots between poverty and crime. I know most of them haven't experienced or seen these issues firsthand, but I have. This may be hard for them to admit, but poverty and crime are highly linked, both violent and nonviolent alike." And during the virtual town hall itself, she had said that crime is a problem of a diseased society which neglects its marginalized people, and policing is not the solution to crime. So she had gone on to propose that economic desperation caused by the coronavirus pandemic, combined with glitches in the delivery of federal stimulus checks and unemployment payments, has helped trigger the crime spike. So she said they're in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
Which is the eternal question of Les Mis. And these guys have clearly never been to a Broadway show, right? Because without Jean Valjean stealing a loaf of bread, we have no Anne Hathaway in that movie.
Yeah. Right. What a tragedy that would be.
And so in that typical way that Fox News pundits have of taking any event and twisting it in just such a way as to fit a narrative, Mike Huckabee said, "There's a big difference between shoplifting and cold-blooded murder, and for her not to know the difference is frankly astonishing." Which wasn't even the fucking thing.
Like, right. She didn't even mention that. It wasn't even a part of the conversation. Of course, she had to put it in there to make it sound like she's ridiculous, because that's the story. That's the story. She's ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's crazy. She's nuts. So have you seen Cabaret?
Trick question.
With Liza Minnelli.
With Liza Minnelli. Well, is there another Cabaret?
Yeah, there's the other one that I really want to see, but I don't think there's a recording of it.
So. There wouldn't be. There's not. There's only one, and it's that one.
I think the other one's probably pretty good, too, but I watched about two-thirds of it, and then I thought, well, okay, and that was my experience with Cabaret. You know, I just don't like Liza Minnelli. I'm probably...
Me either.
Okay, good. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate her.
What's to hate?
Well, I mean, there are people that actors that I just like the idea of them I hate, right?
Yeah.
And now I can't think of one, but... Yeah, so I'll say this about Liza Minnelli. I'm sure this professor will never hear this podcast or this episode. So I had this really dumb class called Hollywood and something. Mm-hmm. And part of it was we had to watch a bunch of movies. And one of those movies we had to watch was A Star is Born. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, God, Liza Minnelli, Jesus Christ, please.
That's not Liza Minnelli.
Oh, the original.
Oh, there was one before. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. We tried to watch that Barbra Streisand one, and I was like, oh, my God. That Barbra Streisand one, it's like she shows up, and she never leaves the screen. She's in every shot.
Wow.
She doesn't have a job. Nobody's looking for her. She just meets this guy or he discovers her or whatever. Like, the Barbra Streisand one was a train wreck.
Oh,
okay. It made no sense.
Okay.
The Lady Gaga one
came out.
Was good. Well, I think Barbra Streisand. You
know, right. Disco.
She could read a phone book and people would pay to
people
go see it.
People would pay for it, yep.
So, anyway, the whole point of this was that I went into the original Star is Born thinking it was going to suck.
Yeah.
And, oh my fucking God, Liza Minnelli was like, I was floored.
Yeah?
I still don't love her.
Right.
But talented, totally.
Huh. Maybe I'll
watch
it.
Not in a Mel Gibson kind of way where he's talented but racist. It's more that...
Is she racist?
Well, I mean, she's 1950s.
Well, I suppose everyone's racist, but did she come out saying, you know, the Jews are...
Okay, here's where we take the Fox News template and we start twisting things to fit narratives that we want. Liza Minnelli was an incurable racist.
God. Oh, we're in so much trouble now.
She's known to have carried a brick with her at all times.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, can we?
So the next bit that I have, someone asked Yoho whether he would be apologizing for his outburst and for calling AOC a fucking bitch. And Yoho lied, "I can't apologize because I didn't say that." However, several congressmen actually stood up and strongly condemned Yoho, demanding an apology on AOC's behalf, including House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, whose name I love, Steny.
Yay!
Who stated, "Mr. Yoho owes not only the congresswoman an apology, but an apology on the floor of the House." And Minnesota's Dean Phillips tweeted, "Like AOC, I believe poverty to be a root cause of crime. Wonder why Representative Yoho hasn't accosted me on the Capitol steps with the same sentiment. Shameful." And Arizona's Ruben Gallego wrote, "I have suggested the same thing that AOC has. Poverty and unemployment lead to crime. Weird. Neither Yoho or any other member has ever talked to me that way." So after the men asked, Yoho did stand up in the House and say, "I rise to apologize for the abrupt manner of the conversation I had with my colleague from New York. It is true that we disagree on policies and visions for America, but that does not mean we should be disrespectful," said Yoho, adding, "Having been married for 45 years with two daughters, I'm very cognizant of my language." What the fuck? "The offensive name-calling words attributed to me by the press were never spoken to my colleague, and if they were construed that way, I apologize for their misunderstanding." Yoho continued, "As my colleagues know, I'm passionate about those affected by policy." And here's the funny part. "My wife Carolyn and I started out together at the age of 19 with nothing. We did odd jobs and we were on food stamps. I know the face of poverty, and for a time, it was mine." I just can't get over that. Anyway, "This is why I know people in this country can still, with all its faults, rise up and succeed and not be encouraged to break the law. I will commit to each of you that I will conduct myself from a place of passion and understanding that policy and political disagreement be vigorously debated with the knowledge that we approach the problems facing our nation with the betterment of the country in mind and the people we serve. I cannot apologize for my passion or for loving my God, my family, and my country." Da, da, da.
Fuck off.
Seriously.
I know we're not at the point yet where we're at the apology analysis.
Yeah.
But nothing in that addresses the issue at all.
Nope.
Nobody said shit about your God. Nobody said anything about your wife.
Nope.
Didn't come up. Right.
Nope.
And all this did was give Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a great opportunity to publicly address this non-apology and the situation.
Yep.
And her takedown, her analysis was so good, so moving, and exactly on point. You know, she didn't take it to places it didn't need to go.
Yep.
Whereas I agree with her statement that he is using his wife and daughters as a shield. "Look, I've got kids. I'm so nice."
Yeah, right. Yeah, she said, "I never spoke to a Representative Yoho before he decided to accost me on the steps of the nation's capital yesterday. Believe it or not, I usually get along fine with my GOP colleagues. We know how to check our legislative sparring at the committee door. But hey, bitches get stuff done." And then to underscore the point, she posted a video of herself in front of the dome of the Capitol building set to Doja Cat's "Boss Bitch," which was good.
I'm just going to say, everybody should have gotten the memo by now. Don't fuck with AOC.
I know.
You would lose.
Totally. Yeah, and for his apology, she quickly tweeted after his floor speech that it wasn't an apology. Republican response to calling a colleague disgusting and a fucking bitch with, "I cannot apologize for my passion and blaming others," she wrote. "I will not teach my nieces and young people watching that this is an apology and what they should learn to accept. Yoho is refusing responsibility." She further tweeted that Yoho does not apologize or name any action he did, does not accept responsibility, lies. This was not a conversation. It was verbal assault. Says everyone else is wrong, and the incident never happened. Mr. Yoho mentioned that he has a wife and two daughters. "I am someone's daughter, too. My father, thankfully, is not alive to see how Mr. Yoho treated his daughter. My mother got to see Mr. Yoho's disrespect on the floor of this house towards me on television. And I am here because I have to show my parents that I am their daughter, and they did not raise me to accept abuse from men."
I mean,
it's beautiful.
Again, it's just, it's a perfectly crafted rebuttal. And, you know, I mean, at the same time, it's also, what am I trying to say? Like, I don't want to say it feels, of course I'm going to support AOC, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to keep in mind that, like, it's very easy to pile on Ted Yoho for being a moron.
Yeah.
And not that I don't want to do that. I just want listeners to be aware that I'm very well aware that I have a bias. And so I might not be looking at the situation fairly. I mean, does poor Ted Yoho have a point? I love you. Nobody can see the look on your face. And the look on your face is so like, why are you talking about why the earth is flat and there's no gravity?
I mean, no, he doesn't have a point.
Okay, good. We need to raise that, right?
Okay.
So that we're not accused of being so terribly one-sided.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is an easy, it's unfortunate, and apparently it's a very common scenario.
Oh, yeah.
One that I'm not qualified to speak on.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a woman anywhere who had not been called a fucking bitch for something as simple as existing. Like, if you sit there and you have the wrong expression on your face, you might be called a fucking bitch. So, it totally happens all the time. Women are constantly accosted by men who think they should be doing something other than whatever it is they're doing. So, it happens a lot on Twitter, I think. And when I had a feminist magazine, it happened a lot in email. I got a lot of death threats and stuff like that.
Oh, you never told me that.
Well, I just thought it was stupid. I mean, and this is totally my response to the death threats that I got. I got tons of death threats every day. Email, you know, but to me, it's just, oh, this is email. These people don't know me. They're mostly anonymous. They're not going to kill me. I'm just going to shove all these emails right into the trash. And that worked for me. Now, but a lot of people who get death threats on Twitter take them very seriously. And it may be because the times have changed. I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Times have changed. It's very easy to find out who somebody is now. It seems like it should be impossible, but if somebody wanted to invest the time, they could I shouldn't say easily, because I don't really know, but you're
easy.
Right. It's easier now.
It was pretty easy back then, too. I mean, it was, you could, if you looked up my domain name, it had my address. So it was easy to find out who I was, but whatever, you know, what works for one person doesn't always work for someone else. So, I don't blame any women for being afraid when they get death threats. It's frightening.
Yeah. I've never gotten a death threat.
Really?
And of all people on the planet, I mean, yeah, I've had people say, "I'm going to fucking kill you."
Yeah.
But it's usually followed by a hug.
Oh.
"I'm going to fucking kill you with love." No, I've never had a death threat. Never, ever, ever.
Have you been called a fucking bitch?
I mean, undeservedly? No. For having the wrong expression on my face? No, no.
Yeah.
No.
So I just have to say that, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the whole topic of, you know, harassment against women, just because it's so constant and it's everywhere. And I don't have a whole lot to add to what other people have more smartly said than me. But yeah, it happens all the time. So, and it seems like Ted Yoho is just not a nice man, because when she went up to him like the next day or something and said, "If you do that to me again, I won't be so nice next time." And he said, "Oh, boo-hoo." Which, like, what is he, 12? I mean, what's going on?
He's very 12.
How do we end up with these babies, like, in Congress, these men who are...
Other babies elected them. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've been to Florida's 3rd District.
Well, I hear bad things about Florida. It's a shame.
I lived there for 5 years. Not by choice. I was a child.
Such a beautiful state.
It was great. I loved it. Florida was amazing. Yeah. And Florida gets picked on unfairly a lot because they have the Sunshine Law where every crime is public record or something. So it's really easy media to go in and like, we're crazy. And there is that website, you know, aflordaman.com or floridawoman.com and just tells you all the crazy Florida stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, the crazy stuff happens everywhere. So Florida, I'm sorry. I know you get picked on a lot. You are the redheaded stepchild in America. And I am sorry to the redheaded stepchildren in America.
That's like a racist saying. Did you know that?
The look on my face right now as one of glee because good.
You're gleeful because you said something racist?
Yeah, about redheaded stepchildren? Totally. Everyone hates them. I'm sorry. Oh, God, this is terrible. I'm going to go straight to hell.
Well, you are going straight to hell, so.
You're right. I should double down.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I could see why.
I'm not sure if it is or not. Now I'm getting different answers, so maybe it's not.
It is in that people who are air quotes around ginger.
Yeah.
Get picked on a lot in the UK for being ginger. In my family, which has some Irish blood, there is nothing better than red hair. Like, that is something that people want to have. My mother dyed her hair red in Auburn for a long while, and it's just a glorious trait.
So I was thinking that it was like the only way you would get a redheaded stepchild. But that's a stepchild, so I don't know. Let's just not. We'll research this and get back to everyone later. So we'll figure it out.
We'll find an apology.
We'll make an
about
apology.
Redheaded stepchildren. This will be my mission this week. And that'll be our next episode, and then we can talk about the genetics and commingling of gingers and brunettes
and non-gingers. Okay, so do you want to talk about the apology?
I mean, the short answer is yes, but also it just is such a non-apology, and AOC did such a great job talking about the apology that anything I said would just simply be any analysis I have would not be the analysis she did. It would just be regurgitation.
Well, I think I'm just as good as AOC, so I'm going to analyze the apology.
Good, please.
So it starts out okay with, I rise to apologize, right? You can't go too far wrong with that. But then he changes the subject and minimizes the offense by saying he rises to apologize for the abrupt manner of the conversation, which is not what was in question. Furthermore, he claims he didn't do anything wrong, saying that his words were never spoken to my colleague. So I didn't say fucking bitch to her. I said it to the mouse in my pocket.
Right.
It was someone else's fault. Furthermore, words never spoken to my colleague. And if they were construed that way, I apologize for my colleague's misunderstanding. So AOC misunderstood that I was talking to her and not the mouse in my pocket.
It's all her fault.
It's all her fault.
That's all that says.
And then he goes on to refuse to apologize by saying, I cannot apologize, and praise Jesus and wave the flag for loving my family, my God, and my country. And what the hell that has to do with calling AOC a fucking bitch, I have no idea.
Who herself is a Christian and a believer.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, no, I mean,
but that's fine.
We can't all be perfect.
We can't all be perfect. She's pretty close. She's pretty close.
She's pretty close.
But yeah, she's gotten death threats. She's been followed. She's been harassed. She's gotten bomb threats. And in a secret Facebook group, the Border Protection agent circulated Photoshopped images of her being violently raped, which is horrific. So
all of those men should have to sit down with their mothers and show them the images and explain to their mothers why they thought that was a good idea to do.
Well, it depends what their mothers are like. I think they should just be fired.
Well, and that too.
And that too.
But then bring the mommies in.
And then bring the mom and the grandmothers. The nanas.
The nanas.
Yeah. So if we rate the apology, which we're now going to do, so from 1 to 10, with 1 being the crappiest, lamest apology of all time, and 10 being perfect, how would you rate this apology?
I mean, I'm going to give it the lowest score. And if one is the real limit, then let's call it a 2, because maybe there'll be another apology. This is the worst apology I've heard.
Yeah.
I rank it right up there with Bill Clinton's apology to Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah, I gave it a 1 because he uses the word apologize. So that's the reason it gets a 1. Well, then maybe you should get a 2 because 1 is the lowest. But that's all because he lies, he deflects, he blames other people, and he panders. And I hate pandering.
Oh, absolutely. It's a complete non-apology. And this was my thing, right? It's sort of like, why did this happen? The guy's leaving office.
Right.
It's his last year, right? So he doesn't need to get approval from his district because he's not going to run again, right?
Yeah.
So there's no political points in his district to be scored for confronting AOC. He doesn't know the press is around, or he claims he doesn't know that the press is around. And at this point, now that I'm mentioning the press, I have to jam in here that The Hill, which is the online newspaper that reported this incident, was founded in 1994 by a guy named Jerry Finkelstein.
Huh.
Yeah. And I just love that I get to say Finkelstein because that is the best last name I've ever heard.
I went to grade school with a Finkelstein.
Stinnerstein.
Stun.
Okay. Not related.
Different.
I got real excited. I was like, you've got to find him now.
Yeah. I wonder what he's doing.
And so, well, he didn't found The Hill, apparently.
No.
Yeah. So I get this point. Who cares? Also, he's not a Stein. All right. So where was I going with that? It was, so this must be how Yoho actually really feels. And he did this in front of Roger Williams from Texas. And I was like, okay, so is this a show for Roger Williams? Why does he confront AOC? Right? She never said, you, Ted Yoho, are the face of poverty and your face is a crime. She didn't say anything about him at all, right? Not his district, has nothing to do with Florida. Why? Why he felt empowered to approach a woman and yell in her face, that I get.
Yeah.
The rules are set up in his favor. The culture is set up in his favor.
Yeah.
I get all that, right? Who is the show for? And I'm wondering if, well, he promised never to run for Congress again.
Mm-hmm.
He's only going to serve X number of terms. But Roger Williams is under what's-his-butt's wing. Oh, God, Rick. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't. The Texas governor and Secretary of Energy for a while. I'm going to have to Google his name.
I don't know.
It is, when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, Rick, Texas. Rick Perry.
Mm.
Rick Perry. Mm. So I'm wondering if this is Ted Yoho's way of laying groundwork for future, oh, we need secretary of, should the next administration be a Republican?
Right.
Right? This was, I think, his way of currying some favor so that people would remember that Ted Yoho was a real firebrand. He sure yelled at that AOC.
I think maybe, but I think really he was just pissed off. He just didn't like what she had to say and thought that she was out of her lane saying what she said and decided to go up to her and bring her down a notch as a woman.
I just feel like, I mean, and this is me, because maybe that is it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that is it. He saw a woman, he didn't like what she had to say and decided he was going to let her know. But And maybe that's all there is to the story. Maybe I'm trying to make it bigger because I can't understand why somebody would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody says something to me, sure, I'll say something back, right? Mm-hmm. And if somebody has said something about me, sure, I'll go up to that person and say, I understand we need to have a conversation, right? But if somebody gave a speech in their district about something, I mean—
Yeah.
But I guess that's just all based on the person I am. And so I'm trying to like rationalize it as if I'm the person who approached AOC. What, you know, there's got to be more than just, I didn't like what you said. This makes me look like a superstar to this Roger Williams, who's going to be in politics for a long while. Maybe Roger Williams can make me the ambassador of Spain or wherever he might want to be secretary of something. But maybe it is just that straightforward. He hated AOC's language and
didn't like AOC.
Dead. What do they call it? Not two birds with one stone, but it's his peanut butter and his chocolate.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Right. Just terrible. I will say that this is not the only fight in Congress, but it's certainly one that has found its place in the history books. So I was wondering, like, well, what other fights have there been in Congress other than that one that we all remember from history class, which is the one senator hit the other senator with a cane prior to the Civil War?
I don't remember that.
Just before? Yeah. And that seems to be the other big one. I mean, there probably are some other things. There's something about in that same cane wrapping incident, some other senator had his wig snatched off of his head, which is great, but only now happens on RuPaul Drag Race, I understand.
This thing must happen a lot, but I don't know. I can't think of any examples. So maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, let's just say it happens somehow, somewhere on some level, and maybe just hasn't received this type of attention.
Yeah, because AOC is such a public figure.
Well, and also the nation is so polarized. Yeah. So maybe not surprising there's some parallel to pre-Civil War conflict within Congress and now un-Civil War conflict within Congress. I mean, I don't know.
Nice.
But yeah, we're going to have to, our next apology is going to have to be not political, not racist, because they're too down. It's just like, it's too real.
At least Trump's not president anymore.
Or is he?
That's right. They did the face swap I saw. They face swapped them out, and is Biden stuttering? Is Trump learning Biden's speech patterns? Because they did a face swap, and it's really Trump is really Biden, and Biden is really Trump, and whatever, you crazy people, you're nuts.
I mean, honestly, it is just beyond. It's just beyond. And I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking, like, okay, what are sort of my ideas around what's happening with the Ted Yoho apology, right? And this idea of men confronting, that doesn't feel like the word to use, men verbally assaulting women, right? For no reason or for little reason. And it was like, oh, well, maybe this is just the boomer culture dying. And recognizing that they are dying, and I have to make it big. There's got to be, like, you know, a metaphysical, esoteric.
We thought when all the old people died, it would be great, but no, that didn't happen. The old people.
I'm going to say, so far, it's kind of not wrong.
It's the old people have died, and it's worse than ever. Now we have new old people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm always really surprised when I hear somebody my age with shitty opinions. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're supposed to be cool.
Yeah,
come on. You really fucking care about
that issue? People get a little bit of money and a little bit of something, and they want to keep it, and they don't want anyone else to have anything in case it takes it away from them, and it's just stupid.
It's just totally stupid, which is why I am officially dropping out. You're all on your own. Enjoy.
You're taking your plants and you're moving to Palm Springs.
I'm going to grow tomatoes and make bread and get drunk and high all the time.
Okay.
24/7. I deserve it now. I deserved it when I was 20 as well.
Yes. Yeah. Especially now.
Yeah. I mean, it is going into not crazy land, but sort of, I mean, people take this shit personally. Ted Yoho took what AOC said personally.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's not a professional thing to do. So who's sorry now?
Oh, good question. I do have an apology.
All right.
So I was trying to think about any time where I might have gone up to somebody and said, blah, 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 in their face and was wrong. And so my apology goes back to high school, weirdly.
Yeah.
It is not you. I am sorry. Okay. My behavior towards you has always
been
impeachable, impeccable, and another M word that would rhyme and give me an alliteration. So it's to Billy Martin, who was the publisher of our school underground newspaper called The Glass Goblin.
Well, he wasn't called that at the time.
No. Pardon?
I was just going to say, can we call him by his former name because he was using that name at the time?
The short answer is I don't know the protocols around that.
Okay.
And so I just figured that rather than possibly dead name somebody, I would just use pronouns and names that are appropriate, and did not, preface this so that we could have an honest conversation about that aspect of this as well.
Okay.
Because yes, Billy is openly transgendered and now is very happy and situated. So back in the day, Billy had a school newspaper that he would like Xerox and staple. And I think it came out every week, right?
Yeah.
And Billy was super picked on in high school.
Super
bad he had to change schools.
Right? Yeah.
And I can remember my mother saying to me once, wow, that child had better, we shouldn't say that child. She said, you know, he had better be careful or he'll find himself burned in effigy at the school one day. And I was like, what's effigy? And that's when I learned what an effigy was. But yeah, so anyway, so what kids in high school would do would be shove notes into Billy's locker. And a lot of notes were like, you suck and die, the original death threats, right?
Yeah.
Pre-email. And in Billy's newspaper, every week he had a cartoon that was something, I remember all of this, something about how the world exploded at the end, but John Lennon was kind of there to deliver a message of peace before the world exploded. And it was always about how John Lennon was so great, right? So John Lennon was the cartoon character that had something wise and profound to say, but nobody listened to John Lennon, and then the world exploded. And that was always the end of the cartoon. And I got really tired of the world exploding and John Lennon always being right. And so I put a note in Billy's locker that said, dear Booby, please stop with the cartoon or whatever, love John, right? And I thought that that was really funny. And I did it for two reasons. One, I didn't love the cartoon so much.
Yeah.
And two, I wanted to be part of like everybody else, just shoving a note in the locker, right? I mean, because that was the thing. It was like what all the cool kids were doing.
Right.
And so Billy approached me a couple of days later and was like, hey, did you put a note in my locker? And I said yes, and I apologized. But that weakness has stayed with me even through today. And it is a small grain of shame that I carry forever in my soul. I feel really horrible about the child that did that.
Right.
That child grew up to be me, and I'm already like trying to get some distance here, but that child over there, not me. But yeah, so that's my apology, because I feel like that's sort of akin to this, as in approaching somebody who didn't do anything to me.
Right.
Just expressing their opinions.
Right.
But I had something that they needed to hear.
Right. I put a note in his locker too, but I said how great I thought the zine was, and that I thought that they should keep doing it. He should keep doing it. And he put a note in my locker back and said, thank you for your support or something like that. So
that is, you are the best person of all time.
I just thought
so much better than I am.
No, I just thought they probably could use some support, I guess. And I thought it was a great scene, so I wasn't lying. So, and then he later became a famous author, and so I'm right.
You were totally right. And that is so lovely, and you never mentioned that you put a note in his locker. And
I was kind of embarrassed that I put a note in somebody's locker to tell them how great I thought they were. I mean, that's kind of nerdy.
Oh, hi. Here we are.
But now I'm glad I did. So, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm glad you did too, because I've never
heard. So if it comes from me, it comes from you too. So you're
okay, good.
You're exonerated.
See how great I am, everybody?
I remember that she used to do cartoons like about things that were happening. I'm so sorry. He used to do cartoons.
That's okay. We're allowed to make mistakes.
Okay, good.
It's about intention.
Things that were happening in his life, and he was dating my friend. We'll call
Pat?
Pat, yeah. He was dating Pat at the time and had a cartoon about how Pat like was looking at some other girl in a, some girl in a tube top or something. And that, you know, it was like, oh, you don't want to be my boyfriend anymore or whatever. It was like totally high school. It was so funny, but it was, I, for some reason that stuck with me. I don't know why, because probably because it seems like Pat is the least likely person to be like that.
But, to be a hound dog or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I heard from Pat not long ago, and he seems to be doing pretty well. So
you shut up. When we're off the air, you're telling me everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, oh, I didn't mean you shut up, like now stuff.
Okay, I'm shut up.
I meant more like shut the front door. Gosh, I'm so surprised. Gee willikers.
But I don't have an apology except to say that.
Of course not.
I've done nothing wrong.
You did nothing wrong. How could you?
I'm perfect.
I apologize. I didn't put two notes of support in the locker.
That's right. Two notes of support. I do have kind of apology I would like. It's work-related, though, and I don't know how interesting it would be, except the project that I'm on right now, we've already spent 38 hours, and I counted, doing requirements gathering for this project. And now they've hired a new person to come in on the business side, and that person wants to re-examine all the requirements, which is going to do 38 hours of requirements gathering and analysis is going to take us 3 weeks, because you can't just do it all at once. And you've got to find times around people's schedule and things like that. So it took us 3 weeks the first time. It's going to take us 3 weeks the second time. So our project is probably now going to be 3 weeks late, which is pissing me off because it doesn't have to happen that way. But
at so least you I'd can like, point to why.
Huh?
At least you can point to why.
Oh, and yeah.
It's a specific work-related reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Her.
Exactly.
That person. So I'd like an apology from that person, but that's never going to happen.
For being hired?
Yeah, for being hired and for wanting to go over all the requirements again, when honestly, she should just assume that they were done perfectly the first time.
I mean, duh.
So, yeah, that's my apology.
Well, that apology will be forthcoming in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, when the project is late.
Right.
Okay. All right. So,
all
do
right,
you know
well,
what we're going to do
next
week?
Everybody.
Do we want to do something happy and cheerful next week?
We want to do something so stupid next week, and completely cotton candy for the apology minded.
All right. Awesome.
Don't know what it'll be.
We'll find out next week. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Apologies Accepted, the podcast.
You can find links to the articles and the sources in the show notes.
To submit an apology or find out more, visit us at apologiesaccepted.net, where you can also find our merchandise.
We're on Twitter at Apologies Accepted.
And on Instagram at apologies.accepted.
You can support our important work at Patreon/Apologies Accepted.
And fuck Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.